Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Tuesday to you. You know I'm live. I'm Jim Rome. I am in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Nice to have you on board. All right, show sets up like this. If you would like to comment on anything that happened over the night, this past night, go ahead and do so right now. 1-800-636-8686. Major announcement involving a college coach stepping down, which I will get to momentarily. Do not wait for me. Call me right now. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up next segment, Pete Thamel is a college football reporter for Yahoo. He joins us then. Next segment, Mark Few, top of hour number two, Gonzaga head basketball coach. Josh Heupel, UCF head football coach, in the third hour. You have your phone number. You know to follow me on Twitter. And also, you can email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so huge news this morning in college football, and it's coming from the coaching circles. Something that had been bubbling beneath the surface for quite some time. You know, a hint here, a rumor there. But if you were paying attention, you could see this coming from a mile away. The expectation is it will be official later today. Scott Satterfield is the new Louisville head coach. Yeah, I know. In some ways, that feels like a shock. And in many others, it makes a lot of sense. When you look at what he's done at App State and the way he's built that program, he's got a track record. And we know the guy can coach. And he's an excellent talent evaluator, which is something that is key at Louisville. Because as good as that program has been in the past, they're now having to deal with a monster in Clemson. So, that's the big news. Oh, and there was some other college football coaching news this morning. Urban Meyer is stepping down after the Rose Bowl. All right. Cool. Excuse me, though, for not losing my bleep. Sorry if I'm not choking up over the retirement of a legend. Why? Well, because we have been here before with Urban Meyer a couple of times. That's why. Remember after the 09 SEC title game when Meyer went to the hospital? He had complained of chest pains. He thought he was having a heart attack. He resigned, only to change his mind a few hours later after being at a, quote, spirited practice with his players. Also, do you remember the time when he retired from Florida 1 year later to spend more time with his family, only to take a TV gig and then join up with Ohio State only a few months after that? And then when he came back, he talked about how he didn't like the state of college football at his time, or at the end of his time at Florida. A state of college football, I might add, that he played a role in creating, with one Gator after another being arrested. You know, just another step in Meyer's career and another bizarre, unnecessary half-truth or straight-out lie about his motivation. You see, this is why everybody and their brother is coming up with hilarious jokes about Clay Helton, about how he should be nervous because Meyer might want the SC job, or why Auburn might be a good fit once Meyer decides that he doesn't like retirement anymore. The first person with that joke was sort of funny. Now it's just lame. Lame, played, and tired. You know, sort of like Herb himself. Don't get me wrong. The guy can coach, no doubt. Hell of a coach. But if this summer did not prove that the emperor has no clothes away from football, then I've got nothing for you. If you have any doubts about whether you can believe Urban Meyer when he says, well, pretty much anything at all, just fire up the VCR and pop in a video from Big Ten Media Days. Watch him answer questions about Zach Smith, the longtime assistant with a longtime history of domestic violence allegations. Then pop in a tape from when it was announced that Meyer would be suspended for 3 games for the way he handled that situation and how he and AD Gene Smith apologized to Buckeye Nation multiple times for how they handled it, but Courtney Smith 0 times. And then when asked about it directly, Meyer said, quote, "I'm sorry we're in this situation," end quote. And then look at the sign on the wall that claims that one of his core values is treat women with respect. So why is this guy stepping down right now? Man, who knows? Who knows? Ryan Day, who's going to take over as head coach, did a nice job in Meyer's absence at the beginning of the season. And there's no doubt that Meyer does have health issues. Let's be clear about that. I'm not saying that that's not a factor. There's a cyst on his brain that was diagnosed 2 decades back. So if I'm keeping my Urban Meyer story straight, it was this cyst on the brain that requires him to take medication, which causes him to lie about or forget about certain key details of domestic violence allegations. Do I have that part right? It's just hard to keep track of that because I'm guessing that Meyer can tell you the details of every single play ever called against Michigan. But according to the investigation into the Zach Smith situation, the investigators reported, quote, "We also learned during the investigation that Coach Meyer has sometimes had significant memory issues in other situations where he had prior extensive knowledge of events. He has also periodically taken medicine that can negatively impair his memory, concentration, and focus," end quote. Once again, never mind that this is the same guy who once claimed he could remember every single play from both the 08 and 09 SEC title games. Yet when it came to recalling details of one of the most important events of his tenure, he's got no recollection at all. You know, because of his meds. All right, great. Anyway, that cyst required surgery in 2014. When you start talking brain surgery, actual brain surgery, it's a serious, serious health problem. And there was one shot after another of him on the sideline this year looking really, really old and looking like he was in a lot of pain. So if that's the reason for stepping down, that's a good reason. But then again, it's kind of hard to trust Urban Meyer. Strike that. It's impossible to trust Urban Meyer, especially when Urban Meyer is talking about Urban Meyer. So the question then is he retiring? Or is he just quitting Ohio State? Will he coach again? Who knows? I just know that if Urban Meyer says Urban Meyer will never coach again, then Jim Rome is going to get a second opinion. And all this means that Ohio State just got the worst of both worlds. They sacrificed their reputation to keep Urban Meyer at the beginning of the season, and now he leaves at the end of the season. Congrats. You sold your soul for a 29-point loss to Purdue and a trip to the Rose Bowl. Hope that was worth it. And if Ryan Day really is as good as everybody in Columbus wants you to think he is, and he might be, but if he is, they could have skipped all of this drama and forced Herb out at the start of the season, given Day the keys, and made a statement about who and what Ohio State is. They'd have been seen as leaders, but they didn't. Well done. You just played yourselves. You see, the problem with Urban Meyer is Urban Meyer. It'd be so much easier to talk about the 3 national championships, the 9 losses in 7 years at Ohio State, the total domination of Michigan, the fact that he was the only guy before Dabo who could claim to be on the same level as Saban, all those things, if it wasn't for the fact that Urban Meyer is so Urban Meyer, which means it's not enough for him to be the smartest person in the room. He also has to be the most moral person in the room. He has to be able to lecture everybody about that. So, when you get right down to it, the only true fair reaction to this news is to acknowledge that this is Jim Harbaugh's biggest win since he went to the Super Bowl with the 49ers. Time to break out a new pair of khakis and a nice tall glass of milk, because now he won't have to be embarrassed by Urban Meyer anymore. Just remember, Michigan men, no matter what Jim Harbaugh does now, it's going to come with an asterisk, because when Urban Meyer was there, Harbaugh never once got over. Unless, of course, Ohio State has a really spirited practice today and Herb decides that he wants to come back, or that his retirement is not actually going to happen, or he doesn't want to spend time with his family, or whatever. So forgive me if I'm not going to come with some complete eulogy on Urban Meyer, because I'm not sure that this is the end. But when someone says somebody's a great person, people frequently say, he's a great coach, but a better man. It's the highest form of praise, right? If, in fact, this is the end for Urban Meyer, What this is the end of a run from a guy who was a really good coach, and that's it. Not the leader or molder of men or great moral figure that he wants you to think that he is or that he even thinks he is himself. Just a great coach. That's it. Just a great coach. If this really is the end, and I'm really not sure it is because I've seen this before. 1-800-636-8686. What do you make of that story? Is he retiring or is he just quitting? Is that the end of him as a coach, or are we going to see him at USC or Auburn or someplace else? What's going on here? Let's wait and see the presser a little bit later on today. Dear Jim, today I am stepping down and I announce my retirement from coaching. Sincerely, Urban Favre. John in Wisco. I'm not saying that he doesn't have legitimate health issues. He does. But he's had them before and, quote, retired because of them before, only to come right back. Once after a spirited practice. Dear Rome, with the departure of Urbag Liar, our conference can go back to being normal. The khaki-wearing kook will finally have a shot at defeating his rival. Wisconsin can stick to being fat. Iowa can remain irrelevant. And Scofro can claim multiple Big Ten titles and Coach of the Year awards at prestigious Nebraska U. Good riddance, Urbag. Signed, the Big Ten Conference. Aaron in Omaha, War Scofro, still being undefeated in Nebraska bowl games. Again. Is this the end of Urban Meyer as a coach? Or is he quitting and not retiring? Your thoughts on that? All right, other topics. We could obviously do an entire program on that. I want to talk about Ryan Day and how he's going to do. And the fact that Irv did not do him any favors by already comparing him to Lincoln Riley. Washington loses to Philadelphia last night. What a weird night that was for the Redskins. Really weird night. I want to talk about the Packers and all the heat that Aaron Rodgers is getting for firing Mike McCarthy, for being the guy who gets to hire the next head coach. I want to get into exactly what's going on, or at least what I think is going on with the Green Bay Packers. Pats having a little bit of fun. Pats having a little bit of fun so far, and they never look like they're having fun. That story is coming up. Buffalo Bills with a really weird season. My thoughts on that too. Quickly, this email says, hey Jim, I'm getting really sick and tired of Ross Tucker one-upping me. A triple header, huh? Regards, OJ?
Oh.
You know, I'm all in favor of you resetting the podcast, but not like that. Not like that. I've seen a lot of bad OJ resets, and by a lot of them, I mean all of them. That might be the worst one. Mark Few coming up next hour. Josh Heupel in hour number three. When we come back, Pete Dammel, a Yahoo Sports college football reporter, will be my guest. There is something to be said for being the best. You know, when you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition, elite athletes know that you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong. You have to stay strong. Just like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil, engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power-robbing friction to maximize engine performance. Did you know that friction can rob 10% of performance from your engine? So as an analogy, imagine you're lined up across from somebody who's at 100%. You're at 90. That guy's got the advantage. That guy's going to get over. Castrol Edge is strong under pressure, reducing friction so your engine can perform at its highest level. It's not only strong, it is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That according to the Kurt Orban test.
Orban
said it. It's got to be true. That's the strength you need and the strength your engine needs to perform at its highest level and to keep you living on the edge. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you on this Tuesday. All right, I've got a smack-off winner on hold. Phone call's coming up, but first I'm joined by an award-winning writer. national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. He was the one that broke this story about Urban Meyer. Pete Thamel is my guest. Pete, nice to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, man.
Good to have you, Pete. Thanks so much. Now, you reported this morning that Urban Meyer is going to be stepping down after the Rose Bowl. Offensive coordinator Ryan Day will be taking over. What was your reaction, Pete, when you first heard that news?
Well, Jim, you know, it's not like a linear decision, right? It's not like one thing happens and then the other. I think there was myriad factors that went into Urban making this decision at this time, from as small as the recruiting calendar, and, you know, they needed to get some certainty there and declare what the program was going to look like going forward. Obviously, signing day is December 19th or 20th this year, so there's a small window for Ohio State to tell future Buckeyes, hey, who's going to be your coach? And then from the that's in the micro, just the small things that factor into it. The bigger things, obviously, Urban Meyer is very pleased with where this Ohio State program is right now. And this is analogous to Bob Stoops when he left Oklahoma two summers ago and handed the program to Lincoln Riley. He thought the program was healthy and would thrive after the transition. And I think it's important, Jim, to look at the infrastructure in the machine, really, that Urban Meyer has built here. It's a machine in recruiting with Mark Pantone. It's a machine in the weight room with Mickey Marotti, who's one of the best to do it, all the way to the operations, the player development, to all the people who've essentially been Meyer's lieutenants. That machine gets kept in place, which was appealing to Gene Smith, obviously the Ohio State athletic director, because, you know, Gene knew that the program obviously would have a different leader with a different spin, but the guts of it would operate in the same way. And then the other factor that can't be ignored here, obviously, is Meyer's health. He's had a cyst in his brain that has significantly impacted him the last 2 years. We obviously saw it on the sideline a bunch this year. Last year, it really flared up at times. People I know at Ohio State would tell me, you know, Urban's not himself. He's a guy who we have seen go 1,000 miles an hour, Jim. It's the only way he's known how. And there was a prevailing feeling that he would have to take his foot off the gas and maybe be a little bit more of a CEO to manage that the severe aggressive headaches he'd been getting. And that's just not who Urban Meyer is. He wasn't comfortable doing that.
Pete Thamel joining us. All right, Pete. So Meyer obviously has a pretty interesting history when it comes to resignations. And of course, as soon as that news broke, the joke started about him taking the USC job after next season or another great gig when it opens up. You talked about his physical condition. He's still just 54, really young for a college coach to hang it up. Do you think he'll never coach again? Or is this a situation where maybe he gets a break and then he'll get that itch once again to come back and coach?
Yeah, it was amusing to see how quickly the cynicism infused the news cycle this morning.
Right.
I will certainly not be naive enough to never say never, right? You never know. I do feel like what that would hinge on would be, A, his health, and B, does he find something where he can engage himself in and invest himself in? You're never going to replace running out of the tunnel, you know, the relationships with 100 kids that you have in your building and then the staffs of these places now. There's probably 50 people on those. So you're never going to quite replace that. But I do feel like in talking to people around Meyer, he has a pretty nuanced plan in place for how he's going to go about his future. And I don't feel like his health would allow him to come back and coach the way he would want to coach.
Pete Thamel joins us. He broke the story earlier this morning. Pete, how much do you think that the Zach Smith scandal played in this? Did it play any role at all in the decision?
I think it'd be impossible to say it didn't play any, right? I mean, it was obviously a pretty dramatic time in Columbus for August and in part of September. But I really feel like behind health, you know, behind wanting to walk away his grandkids now, right, his one and one on the way, I don't feel like it was a major factor in the decision, but I do feel like it was certainly one of those myriad factors.
All right, so what about the school itself? Is there any part, do you think, that where the school might be irritated that they went to bat for Meyer, took a lot of heat from a PR standpoint for how he handled the Zach Smith situation, and now he's leaving only a few months later? Do you think the school is at all bothered by that?
I don't think so. I certainly don't know how President Michael Drake feels, but if institutionally they'd wanted to move on from Meyer that bad, A, they could have obviously fired him in August, and B, they're bringing back the guts of the program he built. right? I just went through kind of all the, you know, all the operational background and such. So if they wanted a clean divorce, they certainly would have, they wouldn't have agreed to Ryan Day and keeping everything in, keeping a lot of things similar to the way they've been and the way they've been built.
We're talking to Pete Thamel. All right, so in terms of that, Ohio State, as you point out, Pete, is hoping for a similar transition to what we saw when Bob Stoops handed off the program to Lincoln Riley. First off, for those who are not familiar with him, who is Ryan Day and what is his background?
Yeah, well, I'll shamelessly plug Yahoo Sports today. I actually have 10 things to know about Ryan Day, and just a little bit about who he is. I think the first thing you mentioned when you mentioned Ryan Day is one of the best young offensive minds in all of football, not just college football. He is the quintessential Chip Kelly protege. Chip recruited him to play quarterback at UNH and was his offensive coordinator at New Hampshire all 4 years. And then Ryan went on to work for a bunch of other people, but rounded back. He actually worked for Chip as the tight ends coach for a year right out of college, I believe in 2002. And then he was his quarterback coach with the Eagles and then with that one season with the San Francisco 49ers. So Ryan Day is a sharp young offensive mind, and look, hanging 62 against Michigan certainly doesn't hurt your case.
Speaking of 62 against Michigan, what do you think Jim Harbaugh did when he saw the news that Meyer was stepping down?
Well, I mean, it certainly changes the dynamic in the Big Ten. One of Meyer's legacies, Jim, is going to be that he changed the Big Ten for the better. He raised the tides here and forced the competition to get better. There have been facilities built and infrastructure added at all these Big Ten schools. I mean, remember the joke Big Ten speed a couple, you know, eight,
right,
9 years ago? Like,
yep.
You know, the SEC was running away with college football and the Big Ten was lagging behind. And I think that 2014 season when Ohio State won the national title, beat Alabama in that Sugar Bowl, I think that was really a turning point for the league. Now, the Big Ten hasn't had a ton of success since. I don't believe they've scored a point in the college football playoff. My colleague Dan Wetzel just pointed that out on our podcast that Michigan State and Ohio State were both shut out. But, you know, he has certainly helped the Big Ten. And does this change Jim Harbaugh's mind and how he does things? I don't know. But, like, I would guess that Michigan gets favored to win the league next year.
We're talking to Pete Thamel. What about that then? I mean, if he definitely dramatically helped turn the fortune and the reputation for that conference, what does his stepping down mean for the Big Ten in general?
Well, it's a blow to the Big Ten. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, their ratings, the interest, the electricity that he brought to games is not going to be replaced by Ryan Day. You can't. You know, it could grow into that. It could grow back into that. But, you know, he's one of the transformative figures in modern football on the field. And so I think it is a blow to the Big Ten. He's one of the, you know, top two coaches of this generation.
All right, so that said, and finally, Pete, there's no doubt he's won everywhere he's been. He has an amazing resume in terms of wins and losses. But, of course, there are the off-the-field issues at Florida and Ohio State. So how would you attempt to sum up his legacy at this point?
Yeah, you know, my colleague Pat Forty wrote a good column about that on Yahoo today. Look, it's never been simple and linear with Urban, right? It's always been complicated and a little bit dramatic. But I do think, you know, when history looks back on Urban Meyer as a football coach, you know, he's going to be remembered for a lot of things. One, changing the way the game's played. Dan Mullen, his former assistant, told me today on the phone, like, the NFL is starting to play. Like it's trickled all the way up to that league. So I think in terms of football, his legacy is pretty clear.
Pete Thamel is an award-winning writer, a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports, and broke this story. Pete, really nice to have you on. Thanks so much for that.
Hey, Jim, thanks for thinking of me.
You got it, Pete. Thank you very much. Pete Thamel, my guest. All right, phone lines are open right now. We do not have an interview until the top of the hour, so next segment is the best time for you to call 1-800-636-8686. If you want to do that legacy question, go right ahead. If it's the end. I mean, I'd love to get into his legacy, but I'm not convinced it's the end. I've heard it's the end before with this guy, and it's not. He comes back. I'm not saying that there aren't physical issues. What I am saying is I don't believe that we've seen the last of Urban Meyer as a head coach. Still just 54. If he gets some time off, gets to charge the battery, starts to feel better, he's had some quality time with the family, and most importantly, a quality job opens up with a quality paycheck, I could see this guy going back to work. Mark Few, top of the hour. Josh Heupel coming up in hour number 3. And your phone calls when we return. A smack-off champ on hold right now. Time now for Bottom of the Hour Sports Update.
Live from Southern California, This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Rick in Buffalo tweets, hell, I could coach Ohio State and they'd still destroy Michigan. Maybe. Quick reminder, CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday. Exciting regional action, playoff and wild card positions are up for grabs in critical AFC matchups. Baltimore battling Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. Andrew Luck leads Indy into Houston to take on the red-hot Texans. Phillip Rivers and the Chargers host the Bengals. Check your local listings. Kick off your day with the NFL today. I want to get into Green Bay and what they'll do, and whether or not Aaron Rodgers had anything at all to do with Mike McCarthy getting fired, whether or not McCarthy got what he deserved, and where the Packers go from here. But first up, let's go to the phones. I mentioned there was a smack-off champ on hold right to the front of the line. Let's go to Hollywood. Mark in Hollywood. What's going on, Mark? How are you?
Good, man. Man, honestly, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he wasn't a practitioner of rat-fingism. Yo, I am vexed how everyone has been suckered by this car salesman timeshare huckster herb. Yo, all morning, quality journals like Pete Dammel, and I like Pete, all they've been saying was, well, we saw this coming because of his health. He clearly had to take a knee, and he had to take Midol, and he had cramps. Hello? This is what you do when you don't want to be at your job. Jim, you talk about it every year during March Madness. On Monday, you start the sniffles. Tuesday, with the cough. Wednesday, you bring in the medicine. So by Thursday, no one questions you, and you're justified by taking the next 2 days off. That's basically what this rat-faced con man has been doing all season, idiots. He's been setting this up. Secondly, how is it, will he coach again, even a serious question for these journos? It's like people forget that he coached a successful college team in the South, where he overlooked players' crimes, where one tight end was insulated against any punishment for his psychopath activities. And when things got hot and the sanctions came, Herb faked the coronary harder than Rick in Buffalo fakes his radio voice, bounced for a year, and then, shocker, he's the head coach of the Buckeyes. Trust me, in a few months, when the Browns or USC come a-callin', bag Grandpa Joe. And finally, not to go all Chael Sonnen, Lance Armstrong with it, but Herb, if you're really feeling that crappy all the time to the point where you have to fake a brain cyst, retire to evaluate your medical status, you did it to yourself, didn't you? It must be hard having to lie to the national media about covering up a woman's abusive husband, but when your boy, who you lied for, started holding things over your head, when Zach Smith started to pop off on Twitter about how he has a ton of dirt that he could come out with at any time, yeah, that would mess with me too. We've all read The Telltale Heart. We know how guilt can drive someone insane or manifest itself physically. Imagine having to coach games, Jim, knowing that any time the posse can roll through into Columbus and ruin his already tarnished legacy. No wonder this guy was going through labor pains on the sidelines. So please, journos, Pete, stop the sympathy, the retrospectives, the gas bags pontificating on his amazing legacy. Sometimes you get exactly what you deserve. Except for Urban Meyer, coach of the 2021 Super Bowl-winning New England Patriots. P.S., Jason Witten, you're not skating today, you hypocritical clown. I saw all of Twitter calling you out for vouching for Greg Hardy a few years back after your little monologue about domestic abuse last night. That hairpiece has you talking out both sides of your mouth, homie. Make the world a better place. Have Greg Hardy throw Witten on a gun bed and punch him in his fat, stupid face. Rack me.
Wow, I think I will. Mark in Hollywood. Mark in Hollywood showing up like it's a smack-off day. I don't agree with all that. I agree with a lot of that. I'd even say I agree with most of that. I don't agree with the fact that Urban made up that cyst that he has on his brain. That's a real thing. That brain surgery he had, also a real thing. Brain surgery is a serious deal. So I don't think that, much like Mark said, that I always advise you clones that right around the time of the Final Four, you want to set that thing up properly, right? You know, Tuesday, start to get a cough. Wednesday, it's even worse. Make sure that you set that thing up so everybody knows just how sick you are. I don't think he did that with the cyst. I don't think that's why he was taking a knee. I don't think he faked the headaches. I think he really did have headaches. That said, I think the guy's disingenuous. I think the guy's not what he appears. And I think that if you want to talk about a legacy for Urban Meyer, how we're supposed to remember this guy, damn good football coach. And I'll leave it at that. Not a molder of young men. Not the ethical, moral guy that he'd lead you to believe. And certainly not all that honest either. This whole notion about, yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, I really don't. I can't remember the details of exactly what happened. This is the same guy who did say, as I mentioned in my take, he can remember every single play from the 08 and 09 SEC title games, but can't remember some of the details regarding Zach Smith. And why not? Because of his medication. Let me tell you something. This guy can remember every freaking play he's ever called against Michigan, but he can't remember those details? Oh, all right. So no, I'm not going to sit here with a eulogy. I'm not going to sit here and hype this guy up and talk about what his career was like. Number one, I'm not convinced his career is over. Number two, I just don't see the guy like that. I see the guy this way. Great football coach, period. Not a great guy, not a great moral, ethical figure who's a great molder of men. You know, it says it right there on the wall. Treat women with respect. How are you going to do that, Herb, if you keep Zach Smith, a guy who was allegedly abusing his wife on staff, as long as you did? And we're honest about that. And then allegedly try to cover that up. Allegedly. However, I will say this. He did not make up the cyst on his brain. That really does exist. That brain surgery, he didn't make that up. That really did happen. So where does he go? Mark just said, yes, yeah, see you in New England taking over for the hoodie. USC, Auburn, New England. I do not think we've seen the last of Urban Meyer. 1-800-636-8686. As I mentioned about Ohio State, they could have cut this guy clean. They could have put an end to this before the year started. They could have given that job to Ryan Day at that point, and then they'd be seen totally differently. Then they'd be seen as leaders. Instead, they acquiesce, and they do that deal. And what do they get in return? A beatdown by Purdue, on the outside, looking in, and maybe a Rose Bowl win. Hope that's worth it. At Hitman Canadian, damn, Mark delivering molten lava, one of his best calls ever. Do you not know about Mark in Hollywood? Do you not know where he went to school? Do you not know what he's about? Does that surprise anybody at all? That said, it was a really strong call. Bella B is in, quote, damn, best call I've heard in a very long time, and it's not even smack-off season. As I mentioned, Mark has some pretty strong opinions about that conference, about that guy, about that program. For him, it is smack-off season. For Herb to show up like that and retire like that, to Mark, that is smack-off day. And if you don't know that, you don't know the guy. 1-800-636-8686. I don't want to hear about some complicated legacy for Herb. It's not complicated at all. East Bay Troy tweets, I think I'm speaking for most clones in here in that we haven't read The Telltale Heart. That's fair. He did say, you know, we've all read The Telltale Heart. I haven't. And according to East Bay Troy, most of the clones have not. In all transparency, I have not. Who else wants to weigh in? You know, other than that, just go ahead and give it to that guy. He'll wire the field with a huge call. Do you have a different take? A different take? Can you do better? Or do you just want to go in a different direction? 1-800-636-8686. Let me talk about the Packers for a minute. So they fired their head coach, Mike McCarthy, on Sunday. Then yesterday, they met with the media to explain that decision. Not that an explanation was really necessary to me. All they really had to do was lug in one of those carts with the TV and the VCR, the one that the substitute teacher always brought in, put in the game film from Sunday's Arizona-Green Bay game, and then hit play. Because that game tells you anything you needed to know. Everything. if you watch that game and you still need an explanation as to why they fired Mike McCarthy, then you were never going to get it in the first place. Now, I know the argument that McCarthy did an enormous amount for that team and deserved better. I understand that. And nobody wants to be fired in the middle of the season, especially right after a home loss to a struggling Arizona Cardinals. But that was not going to turn around. And nobody wanted to go through another month of questions about McCarthy. Not the players, not team officials, and probably not Mike McCarthy. So in meeting with the media, team president Mark Murphy told everybody why he dumped his head coach 12 games into his 13th season and how the process for finding a replacement was going to go. According to Murphy, one person who is not going to be a part of that process is Aaron Rodgers. Quote, "Obviously, he's free to provide input and talk to us, but he's not going to be a part of the process. The other thing I would say, Aaron was no part at all in the decision to move on from Mike," end quote. All right. And according to Jim Rome, that's exactly what Mark Murphy has to say publicly. He has to say that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be a part of the process. But Aaron Rodgers has to be a part of the process. It would make no sense whatsoever to have one of the greatest quarterbacks ever and then not have him be involved in one of the biggest decisions in franchise history. Now, I'm not saying you need to have Aaron Rodgers in the interview room, reading applications from the candidates and grilling them on the ins and outs of their schemes. But you don't need to have him doing that in order to have him involved. In fact, if you need to do that to get his input, then there are some major communication issues in that organization. Mark Murphy is a pretty smart guy. I'm guessing he already has a sense as to what kind of a coach Aaron Rodgers would be looking for. And if I'm Mark Murphy, I would be looking for somebody similar. Here's something else that's kind of insane that we can nip in the bud right now. This notion that Aaron Rodgers got Mike McCarthy fired. I mean, are you serious about that? Mike McCarthy got Mike McCarthy fired. If anything, Aaron Rodgers added a few years to his career. This is not a situation where an elite player turned on a good coach for no reason whatsoever and got him fired. This team was 4-7-1. Have you seen them play? They're not a good football team. And any coach, no matter what they've done in the past, would be on the hot seat at 4-7-1, especially when everything around them has gone stale. 13 seasons is a long time. It's a really long time to be the head coach of one NFL team. It's an amazing accomplishment. You've got to be really good at your job to last that long in one place. But you have to keep winning and you have to keep reinventing, and Mike McCarthy was not doing those things. Aaron and Mike may not have been best friends, but you don't have to be. As Rodgers said,
"Him and I, like any relationship, we have our amazing times. We have our times where we butt heads, but the basis, like I said, was built on mutual respect and communication. And, we spent a lot of time here talking off the field at my house or his house, spending time together and growing in our friendship. And we accomplished a lot together."
They did. They did. And it had gone stale, and it no longer worked, and it was time to move on. But for those who want to say that Rodgers fired his head coach, exactly what were you seeing from this team that would make you think that getting rid of McCarthy was a bad thing or the wrong thing? Again, they were 4-7-1 without a pulse. They were going in reverse. The Arizona Cardinals went into their house and beat them. This thing was not turning around. And they would have just rolled him out for the rest of the season. And it would have been bad for McCarthy and bad for everybody else. And they would have all had to answer the same questions for several more weeks. Trust me, they did this guy a favor. Ross Tucker said it best on our podcast yesterday. It was a mercy kill. And then I chased out by saying, you're right. They put him out of his misery. That thing was not going to turn. It was not going to turn. And Aaron Rodgers did not just decide that he didn't like a really effective head coach and went in and said, mirror him, fire him. That's not how that went. Did you see him play this year? He lost the team. guy had a hell of a run. He's a hell of a coach. It's going to take him 5 minutes to get another job, but it was time to move on. And there was no reason to wait until the end of the year. They did the right thing at the right time. When we come back, Gonzaga head basketball coach Mark Few is my guest. Josh Heupel, head football coach at UCF, coming up in hour number three. And more of your phone calls. Stay tuned. You are in the jungle. Hour number two, straight ahead.